You know, for months and months and months, going back to summertime, people have been asking about the how the election is affecting the stock market. And I don't think that it did, or the bond market either, for a long time. That's changed. And I think it's we've seen a lot of reaction here lately. So I guess we're not going to have to wait much longer to find out what the ultimate impact's going to be. But it's a great excuse to check in with Rob Kaplan. Robert Kaplan is the former CEO of the Dallas Federal Reserve and is back as his second stint as vice chairman of Goldman Sachs. So he knows every aspect of the market. So it's good to have you with us.
Great to talk to you, David.
So overall, I mean, from the market standpoint, stock market, bond market, etc., does it matter who wins?
Yeah, I think it will matter who wins. And there are a number of policy questions that will be different under depending on who's elected. The way immigration is handled and potentially deportations is a significant open question under Trump. Probably more predictable under Harris. I think either side, market's going to have to analyze tariffs. I think under Trump, you're likely to get a substantial regulatory re-review across industries with the effort to create more productivity.
Which I would guess and the stock market would like.
Probably, yes. And then the other question is, Trump has said, and I think he means it, he's going to try to encourage Saudi Arabia and U.S. oil producers to produce more because he wants to get the price of oil down at the pump. There's a lot of challenges from getting from here to there, but that'll be a substantial difference between the two.
All right, let's go back over some of that. On the one hand, if you get a Democrat, you're probably going to get personal income taxes for a lot of people higher. Capital gains taxes would go higher.
Corporate taxes. And I wouldn't assume that. I wouldn't assume any of that.
Well, I would, and that's what I was going to say. That requires Congress to act on it. So
that's right.
If you have a split, you're not going to get it. Tariffs are another story. As I understand it, the president can do that.
Yes.
So we would get tariffs.
Yes. The only comment I'd make is a caution. We have tariffs now. Tariffs are meaningfully higher than they were, a number of years ago. And remember, tariffs are only on goods. And goods is about 30% of the U.S. economy. And if something I want to buy goes up in price, consumers have a bad habit of substituting and buying something else. So I think actually the tariff situation is less predictable. That's why I started off with workforce. I think that's the one that's more challenging and more significant to analyze.
And this has been a concern of yours since the day we met. Several years
that's
ago,
right.
You've talked about an aging workforce and people not coming into the workforce, babies not being born and filling up the pipeline. And this has been an area. So what happens if you could actually deport 11 million undocumented immigrants?
Well, we got to understand the workforce in the United States is, let's call it roughly 160 million workers. We've just suffered through the last number of years with the Fed raising rates in the attempt to rebalance the workforce and get supply demand more in balance. If you had, and we were benefited in 2024 by a jump in labor supply, man, I liked how it happened through immigration. If you literally reduce the supply of labor by X million, I don't know what the X is, you're going to throw the equilibrium in the labor market out of whack. Now, there are ways to rebalance. You could speed technology, enable disruption, move quicker to robo-taxis, driverless car. But the concern would be in the near term, you may exacerbate worker shortages, get the labor force out of balance. Remember, service sector inflation, you've heard me say, is where the inflation issue is thorniest. And I would guess that service sector inflation is going to be stickier if you have fewer workers to try to attract.
And clearly that's the biggest part of the economy is the service sector.
By the way, it would also reduce GDP in that if you got rid of X million consumers, it would take years to do this, by the way. It's not going to happen overnight, but it would have ripple effects through consumption, demand for consumers, all those things that I think are hard to, you know, it'll take a lot of work to try to figure all that out.
But it would be very disruptive, I would think, to an economy if that sort of Damocles is hanging over it.
It would, and this is why, and I don't know the answer of what's going to happen. Is it that they really do plan to deport X million workers, or are they going to deport convicted criminals and people with records, which might be 100 or 200,000, but with a lot of fanfare and make it feel like it's several million workers? But I would think they'll be as hesitant to reduce the workforce as anyone else in light of what we just talked about.
You know, getting lost this week because of all the noise properly addressed to the election is a Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meeting. So November 7th, presumably, if the markets are to be believed, we've got like a 99% chance of a rate cut. I assume that you agree with that. But then it's the guidance that we hear after that. And, we've had a lot of noise since this last cut. There have been a lot of variables in the employment situation and some of the economic data.
So you've heard me say many, many times, the job of the Fed is not to be a prognosticator. It's to be a risk manager. So I think they'll move in November. And I think the wisest thing to do in the press conference and after the meeting is to keep their options open and acknowledge the obvious, depending on how much policy uncertainty there is on the fiscal side, just acknowledge it and don't overcommit or overpredict what's likely to happen.
We've seen some real signs of weakness in this economy. So some of the data that's been coming out over the last month or so.
I think it's probably artificial, meaning the Boeing strike, other extraneous events. Listen, my own assessment is the labor force demand has, on the one hand, cooled. On the other hand, we're not falling out of bed. And you got to remember, we're running a 7% of GDP deficit. Fiscal spigot is still wide open. Inflation Reduction Act, Infrastructure Act. I don't think we're falling out of bed. But on the other hand, I think there's a lot of cross currents that could be happening in the economy, and the Fed needs to give itself time to analyze them.
And I haven't heard anything from either party that's talking about cutting deficits. I've heard a lot of railing that the deficits are horrible, but not anything material about addressing.
So to your point, here's the thing that might well happen into 2025. We're going to sell $9 trillion of treasuries this year. It's going to be more next year. The term premium, in the lingo, the price you pay for 10-year, 30-year, is inching up, even as the Fed is planning to cut rates. I think the next president's got to be on guard that the markets may push us to manage our debt growth, meaning if the price that we have to pay to sell duration, 10-year, 30-year, goes up enough, I think that may be a factor in causing us to think we need to moderate our debt growth. And I think all these plans need to be looked at with that prism.
Again, a lot of uncertainty, and maybe we get some resolution after the election, but there'll still be a lot of uncertainty. Is that why I looked at Goldman Sachs strategist about 2-3 weeks ago, came out with a look ahead at the economy, and I thought it was just dire, talking about an annualized nominal rate return of 3% annually over the next 10 years. And we've been running, I guess, an average of 11%. I think we're up 19%, you know, this year.
So I know David Kosten well. We spent a lot of time talking about this report. My own take would be the following. I think what he said, what I would take from it is, we're not going to get a big tailwind in PE expansion in the years ahead. If we're going to get a big tailwind, it's going to have to come from earnings growth. And I think, you know, in saying 3%, he's being conservative about the prospects for earnings growth. But the truth of the matter is, if you get a jump in productivity with all this AI spending, it's another positive uncertainty. It's possible we could be pleasantly surprised with productivity growth, in which case we could get better earnings growth. But I'd say the jury's out on that. And I think his research reports, you know, a caution about we need earnings growth to drive this stock market at this level.
Well, and certainly an eye opener too. So hopefully we get some resolution over the next week or so about the president, and Congress. That's the other thing. If we have, whether we have a divided Congress or whether we have a clean sweep, I mean, that's going to determine a lot.
Yeah, I think in the next month, we'll know, obviously, the shape of legislature and the executive branch. I think it may not be till sometime next spring or into next year before we have a better grip on policy changes. And I think people just need to keep that in mind. If you're hell-bent on needing to know by December, we're not going to know. You're going to have to be willing to be patient and turn over a few more cards and manage your risks accordingly, understanding we may not know till sometime middle of next year.
Well, the comforting thing is the markets have been through everything, and they always have a nice way of adjusting.
Sometimes
they do. We just don't know how. Robert Kaplan is the his partner and vice chair of Goldman Sachs, and always a great guest. Good spending some time with you. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you, David.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.